The history of the Moabites begins in a controversial manner, marked by dark events. After the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot, Abraham's nephew, sought refuge in a cave in the mountains, believing he was one of the last survivors of humanity. In this isolation, his daughters, fearing the extinction of their lineage, intoxicated Lot and had incestuous relations with him. From this union, Moab and Ben-Ammi were born, the progenitors of the Moabites and the Ammonites, respectively. This dark beginning would shape the destiny of both peoples, marking them with a stigma of origin and influencing their future relations with the Israelites. The incestuous origin of the Moabites not only separated them morally from the Israelites, but also created an intrinsic tension between the two peoples. Despite being close relatives, the Moabites descending from Lot and the Israelites from Abraham, this complex relationship oscillated between proximity and conflict over the centuries. Biblical narratives capture this ambiguity, portraying Moab sometimes as an ally, sometimes as an enemy, reflecting the uncertain nature of their origins and their influence on interactions with the Israelites. This controversy surrounding their foundation made the Moabites a people often rejected, viewed with suspicion by their neighbors. However, it also forced them to develop a resilient identity, seeking ways to thrive in a strategic and fertile region while maintaining a stubborn independence, even in the face of significant external threats. The destruction of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah is one of the most cataclysmic events recorded in the scriptures, marking the end of deeply corrupt civilizations. Lot, a righteous man amidst decadence, was spared from divine annihilation and led, along with his family, to a safe place. However, the fear that divine judgment had exterminated all of humanity led Lot and his daughters to take refuge in a cave, isolating themselves from the world. In this scenario of despair and solitude, Lot's daughters conceived a plan to preserve their lineage. Believing there were no more men on earth to marry, they decided to intoxicate their father and conceive children with him. This act, though condemnable, was, in their view, a desperate attempt to ensure the continuity of the family and, by extension, of humanity. Thus, Moab and Ben-Ammi were born, sealing the destiny of two peoples who would play significant roles in biblical history. Lot's refuge, which was supposed to be a place of safety and preservation, became the cradle of a profound moral dilemma. The destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah and the subsequent birth of Moab and Ben-Ammi symbolize not only the fragility of human morality in times of crisis, but also how desperate acts can give rise to lasting and complicated legacies. The incestuous union between Lot and his daughters gave rise to Moab and Ammon, establishing the foundations of two peoples that would have a tumultuous relationship with Israel. The Bible recounts that Moab, the firstborn, gave rise to the Moabites, while Ben-Ammi became the ancestor of the Ammonites. These two peoples, though born of a morally condemned act, established kingdoms that, at different times, became regional powers and significant adversaries of Israel. The narrative of the birth of Moab and Ammon not only underscores the controversial nature of their origins, but also foreshadows the conflicts that would occur between their descendants and the Israelites. These tensions would be fueled by cultural, religious, and political differences, as well as the stigma of their origin. The Moabites, in particular, were viewed with disdain by the Israelites, not only for their origin, but also for their religious practices, which included human sacrifices and the worship of foreign gods. Despite this, the Moabites managed to establish themselves as an influential people in the region, using their fertile land and commercial skills to build a robust economy. This duality, being simultaneously despised and feared, characterized the Moabites' relationship with their neighbors, including Israel, and helped shape the course of history in the region. The forbidden relationship that gave rise to the Moabites had lasting consequences for both them and their Israelite neighbors. From this controversial birth, A series of conflicts and unstable alliances unfolded, marking the history of the two peoples. Moab, on the one hand, was often seen as a people of impure origin and condemnable religious practices, while Israel struggled to maintain its own identity amid the cultural influences of its neighbors. The Moabites, more than once, were both allies and enemies of Israel. Geographic proximity and blood ties were not enough to prevent mistrust and conflicts. These conflicts were exacerbated by the worship of different gods, with Chemosh being the main god of the Moabites, often associated with practices that the Israelites considered abominable. Moreover, the incestuous union that gave rise to Moab and Ammon always lingered in the background of these interactions, fueling prejudices and hostilities that persisted for generations. This forbidden relationship was not just an isolated incident, but a milestone that influenced the power dynamics and cultural perceptions between these peoples for centuries. The land of Moab, located east of the Dead Sea, was a region of great fertility and strategic value. Situated on a high plateau about 1,000 meters above sea level, Moab had a geography that favored both agriculture and military defense. Its fertile lands allowed for the development of an economy based on the cultivation of cereals and viticulture, as well as livestock farming, making Moab a center of trade and a regional power in its time. Moab not only utilized its natural advantages to prosper, but also established commercial and cultural connections with other regions, expanding its influence. Despite its relative isolation, Moab became a strategic point in the exchange of goods and knowledge among different peoples, including the Israelites. These exchanges, however, also generated tensions, as Moab's prosperity often attracted the greed and hostility of its neighbors. The strategic position of Moab also meant it was constantly in conflict with other peoples, including Israel. Disputes over territory and resources were common, and Moab often found itself in a defensive position against invasions. However, the resilience and skill of its leaders allowed Moab to maintain its independence for long periods, even in the face of greater powers like Israel. The initial encounters between Moabites and Israelites were marked by a combination of cooperation and conflict. Being neighboring peoples, it was inevitable that their lives would intersect, especially during the period of the Exodus, when the Israelites, on their journey to the Promised Land, passed near the borders of Moab. The Moabites, led by King Balak, watched with apprehension as the Israelites advanced, whose reputation for defeating powerful enemies had already spread. Although there was a possibility of peaceful coexistence, mutual distrust and cultural and religious differences quickly made this coexistence unstable. Moab, jealous of its independence, viewed the Israelites as a growing threat. This tension led to increased hostilities, culminating in episodes of conflict that would deeply mark the relationship between the two peoples. The presence of the Israelites at Moab's doorstep generated fear and distrust among the Moabites. This climate of tension was a prelude to Balak's subsequent actions, who would try to find a supernatural solution to what he saw as an existential threat, marking the beginning of an even more complicated and often violent relationship between Moab and Israel. Over the years, the relationship between Moab and Israel was characterized by tense coexistence. At times, the two peoples managed to coexist peacefully, exchanging goods and knowledge. Trade between them was vital for both, as Moab possessed valuable agricultural resources, while Israel could offer products and skills in return. However, this coexistence was never entirely free of conflict. Tensions between the two peoples were exacerbated by territorial disputes and differing religious beliefs. The Israelites, who followed the God of Abraham, viewed the Moabites' worship of Chemosh and other pagan gods with disdain. This fundamental difference generated distrust and sometimes led to open conflicts. Additionally, Geographic proximity increased the chances of friction, especially in times of scarcity or crisis. These conflicts were not only military, but also cultural and spiritual. Moabites and Israelites saw themselves as rivals in many aspects, and this rivalry was reflected both in battles on the field and in attempts to influence each other culturally and spiritually. This constant tension helped shape the history of both peoples, with each side seeking to assert its identity and protect its interests against the other. The Moabite religion was a complex mix of Canaanite beliefs and their own practices, with Chemosh being the main god worshipped by the people of Moab. Chemosh was seen as a god of war and fertility, and sacrifices, including human sacrifices in extreme cases, were offered to him. The worship of Chemosh was deeply rooted in Moabite culture, and its ceremonies were often grand and rituals filled with meaning for the people. Besides Chemosh, the Moabites worshipped other gods, such as Ashtoreth, the goddess of fertility, and various minor deities associated with nature and war. These religious practices included festivals and rituals dedicated to ensuring the fertility of the lands and protection in battles. Religion in Moab was not just a matter of faith, but also of national identity, something that united the people in times of prosperity and adversity. The worship of these pagan gods was seen with horror by the Israelites, who considered such practices abominable and in direct opposition to the worship of the God of Israel. This religious difference was one of the main sources of conflict between the two peoples, with the Israelites often condemning the Moabites for their idolatry and immorality. This spiritual divergence not only fueled hostilities, but also reinforced cultural and social divisions between Moab and Israel. Chemosh and Ashtoreth, the main deities of the Moabite pantheon, occupied a central place in the religious and cultural life of Moab. Chemosh, as the god of war and fertility, was frequently invoked before battles, and his altars were sites of significant sacrifices, including, in some cases, human sacrifices intended to ensure military victories. The practice of such sacrifices horrified the Israelites, who saw these actions as a direct offense to the God of Israel. Ashtoreth, on the other hand, was the goddess of fertility and sexuality, and her worship was linked to fertility rituals that sought to guarantee abundant harvests and the prosperity of the community. Festivals in her honor were moments of great celebration, but also of practices that the Israelites considered deeply immoral. These celebrations reinforced the Moabite identity and their cultural separation from their Israelite neighbors. Idolatry in Moab was not only a matter of faith, but of cultural survival. The worship of Chemosh and Ashtoreth reflected the needs and hopes of the Moabite people, but it also put them on a path of inevitable confrontation with Israel. Moabite religious practices became a symbol of the fundamental divergence between the two peoples, fueling prejudices and exacerbating the conflicts that followed. As the Israelites advanced toward the Promised Land, the threat they posed to Moab grew. Balak, the king of Moab, was deeply concerned about the fate of his people. The reputation of the Israelites as victorious conquerors who had already defeated other powerful peoples caused fear in Balak, who knew that a direct confrontation could mean the annihilation of Moab. Seeking a solution to the problem, Balak decided to resort to the supernatural. He sent messengers to bring Balaam, a prophet known for his effective blessings and curses. Balak hoped that through a curse pronounced by Balaam, he could weaken the Israelites and thus save Moab from destruction. However, Balak's plan did not unfold as expected, and his attempt to manipulate fate had unexpected consequences. The story of Balak and Balaam reveals the depth of the Moabite king's desperation and the complexity of the relations between Moab and Israel. Even in the face of an existential threat, Balak tried to use every possible means, including the supernatural, to protect his people. This action, however, proved futile, demonstrating that divine designs could not be altered by human interests, no matter how desperate they were. Desperate to save his kingdom from the growing Israelite threat, King Balak sought the help of Balaam, a prophet whose fame spread due to the accuracy of his blessings and curses. Balak believed that if he could convince Balaam to curse the Israelites, he could weaken them enough to ensure Moab's safety. To this end, he sent messengers loaded with gifts and promises of great honors, hoping to persuade the prophet. Balaam, however, was not an ordinary prophet. Although tempted by the riches and prestige offered, he knew that his loyalty should lie with the divine will. When he consulted God about Balak's request, he received a clear prohibition. He should not curse the Israelites, for they were a blessed people. Despite this, Balaam hesitated, and his ambition nearly led him to betray the divine command. The supernatural consultation between Balak and Balaam became a crucial moment in the biblical narrative, highlighting the tension between human desire and divine will. Balak, in his determination to protect Moab, underestimated the power and sovereignty of God, and his attempt to manipulate divine designs ended up frustrated. The story serves as a reminder of the futility of trying to oppose God's will, regardless of the intentions or pressure of circumstances. Despite Balak's insistence, Balaam could not curse the Israelites. Instead, each time he attempted to utter a curse, God put words of blessing in his mouth. From an elevated position where he could see the Israelite camp, Balaam pronounced words that exalted the prosperity and divine protection over the people of Israel, to Balak's growing frustration. The Moabite king, who had hoped the curses would weaken his enemies, saw his plans crumble before the strength of the blessings pronounced by Balaam. Unable to manipulate the Israelites' fate, Balak felt powerless and betrayed, but Balaam explained that he was only fulfilling God's will. Balak's failure to obtain the desired curse was a devastating blow, not only to his military strategy, but also to his morale and authority as a leader. This episode reinforced the idea that the Israelites were a chosen and protected people by God, and that no force, human or supernatural, could prevail against them without divine permission. Balaam's blessings, although unexpected, served as a testimony to God's sovereignty over all nations and the inevitability of his plans, regardless of human efforts to deviate them. After Balak's failure to curse the Israelites, the relationship between Moab and Israel entered a new chapter marked by temptation and idolatry. The Israelites, encamped at Shittim, began to intermingle with Moabite women, attracted by their religious and cultural practices. What began as seemingly harmless interactions soon transformed into a dangerous cultural exchange that led the Israelites to worship Baal Peor, the Moabite god. The worship of Baal Peor was an act of betrayal against God's commandments, which demanded the Israelites' exclusive loyalty. By participating in Moabite rituals and sacrifices, the Israelites strayed from their own traditions and fell into idolatry. This transgression provoked divine wrath, unleashing a plague that began to decimate the people of Israel as punishment for their infidelity. The episode at Shittim is emblematic of the continuous temptation the Israelites faced to deviate from God's ways. The attraction to Moabite culture and religion, symbolized by the worship of Baal Peor, resulted in devastating consequences, serving as a warning to future generations about the dangers of idolatry and disobedience to God. The infidelity of the Israelites at Shittim did not go unnoticed by God, who reacted severely to his people's apostasy. The worship of Baal Peor was seen as a profound betrayal, and divine wrath manifested mercilessly. God ordered Moses to execute all the leaders responsible for the transgression, and a deadly plague began to spread through the camp, killing thousands of Israelites. This divine punishment was a clear reminder of the covenant between God and Israel, a covenant that required absolute obedience and faithfulness. The plague that decimated the people served as a harsh lesson about the consequences of disobedience and idolatry. Moses, along with the Israelite leaders, had to act swiftly to contain the spiritual corruption and restore the people's sanctity. God's wrath at Shittim is one of the darkest moments in the Israelites' journey to the Promised Land. It illustrates the gravity with which God views idolatry and infidelity, as well as the constant need for vigilance and devotion on the part of his people. The episode also reinforces Moses' role as leader and mediator, guiding the people back to the path of obedience and faith. Amidst the calamity that beset the Israelite camp, an act of zeal for God's sanctity put an end to the plague. Phinehas, the grandson of Aaron, took a spear in his hands, and upon seeing an Israelite committing a public act of idolatry with a Midianite woman, pierced both, halting the sin and appeasing divine wrath. This decisive act by Phinehas not only stopped the plague, but was also recognized by God as an act of extreme loyalty and zeal for the sanctity of the people. Phinehas's act was rewarded by God with a covenant of peace and the promise of a perpetual priesthood for his descendants. He became an example of how defending divine sanctity can bring salvation and restore order among God's people. Through his action, Phinehas demonstrated that even in times of great sin and judgment, faithfulness to God can redeem and protect the community. This event marked the end of the plague that had killed 24,000 Israelites and served as a turning point for the people of Israel, reminding them of the importance of spiritual purity and unwavering obedience to God's laws. The story of Phinehas remains a powerful example of how divine justice can be restored through acts of courage and faith. During a period of great famine in Israel, a family from Bethlehem decided to seek a new life in the lands of Moab. Elimelech, along with his wife Naomi and their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, left their homeland in hopes of finding sustenance and prosperity in a place known for its fertility and abundance. Moab, although historically an adversary of Israel, offered the promise of a new opportunity amid the crisis. The arrival of Elimelech and his family in Moab was marked by a period of adaptation and integration into the local community. His sons married Ruth and Orpah, and the family seemed to be settling well in their new home. However, tragedy soon struck. First, Elimelech died, followed by his two sons, leaving Naomi desolate and without heirs. The migration to Moab, which initially seemed a solution for survival, turned into a series of devastating losses for Naomi. This journey of pain and suffering set the stage for one of the Bible's most moving stories, where loyalty, faith, and redemption would emerge from the ashes of tragedy. After the death of her husband and sons, Naomi found herself alone in a foreign land, without support and without hope. Her sorrow was deep, and she decided to return to Bethlehem, having heard that God had blessed the people of Israel again with abundance. Naomi encouraged her daughters-in-law, Ruth and Orpah, to stay in Moab, where they would have a better chance of rebuilding their lives by remarrying. Orpah, though reluctant, followed Naomi's advice and stayed in Moab. Ruth, however, refused to leave her mother-in-law, promising to stay by her side wherever she went. Ruth's decision was not just an act of loyalty, but also of faith, as she accepted the God of Israel as her own God. Thus, Ruth and Naomi set out together for Bethlehem, beginning a new journey that would change the course of their lives. Naomi's return to Bethlehem was a symbol of renewed hope, despite adverse circumstances. The story of her tragedy in Moab and her decision to return to her homeland, accompanied by Ruth, illustrates the depth of human bonds and the possibility of new beginnings, even amid despair. This narrative sets the stage for the redemption and restoration that would follow. Ruth, the young Moabite, made a decision that changed her life and that of her mother-in-law, Naomi. By choosing to follow Naomi back to Bethlehem, Ruth demonstrated unwavering love and loyalty, leaving behind her own land, people, and gods to adopt the faith and destiny of Israel. Her words, "Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God my God," echo as one of the most powerful vows of commitment and loyalty in the Bible. Ruth's decision to leave Moab and follow Naomi was not only an act of personal devotion, but also a demonstration of her profound faith in the God of Israel. By making this choice, Ruth entered a new world where she would face unknown challenges, but also where she would find her divine purpose. Her choice reflected rare courage and unwavering trust in a future she could not foresee, but in which she fully believed. Ruth would become a central figure in the biblical narrative, not only for her loyalty to Naomi, but also for her role in the lineage of King David and eventually Jesus Christ. Her story is proof of how decisions based on love, loyalty, and faith can have repercussions that transcend generations, transforming the lives of individuals and the history of nations. Upon returning to Bethlehem, Ruth and Naomi faced the harsh reality of starting over in an environment that was entirely new to Ruth. To survive, Ruth began gleaning in the fields, a common practice for the poor and foreigners at the time. It was during this work that Ruth caught the attention of Boaz, a wealthy and influential man, a relative of Elimelech. Boaz, upon learning of Ruth's loyalty to Naomi, treated her with great kindness, ensuring her safety and providing enough to sustain the two women. Boaz, impressed by Ruth's devotion and respecting the laws of Israel regarding the redemption of land and lineage, took steps to ensure that Ruth and Naomi were cared for. He assumed the role of kinsman redeemer, marrying Ruth and securing the continuation of Elimelech's lineage. This marriage was not just a union between two people, but also an act of redemption for both Ruth and Naomi, who saw their hopes and futures restored. The new beginning in Bethlehem not only brought stability to Ruth and Naomi, but also placed Ruth at the center of Israel's history. She, a Moabite, became the great-grandmother of King David, highlighting how divine grace and providence can work through unexpected individuals and improbable situations. The story of Ruth and Boaz is a testament to the power of redemptive love and faithfulness to God. Moab, under the leadership of Eglon, experienced a period of rise and power, especially at the expense of the Israelites. Eglon, described as a shrewd and despotic king, managed to subjugate Israel and impose heavy tributes on the people, keeping them under his control for 18 years. This period of oppression was characterized by the exploitation of Israelite resources, which were used to enrich Moab and strengthen Eglon's power. Eglon established his stronghold in Jericho, a city that symbolized both Moab's power and Israel's humiliation. The opulence of Eglon's palace, adorned with luxuries obtained at the expense of Israelite suffering, reflected the power imbalance between the two peoples. Eglon's reign represented a time of great suffering for Israel, struggling to bear the heavy burden of tributes and the loss of their freedom. However, Eglon's rise would be challenged by an unlikely Israelite hero whose courage and cunning would change the course of history between Moab and Israel. The era of oppression under Eglon was thus a prelude to the liberation and rescue that was to come, demonstrating that even in the darkest times, hope and resistance could emerge. The tyrannical reign of Eglon over Israel came to an end through a daring act performed by Ehud, a man from the tribe of Benjamin. Ehud, who was left-handed, was chosen to deliver the annual tribute to Eglon. However, he had a secret plan: to free Israel from Moabite yoke. Hiding a double-edged dagger on his right thigh, Ehud managed to pass through Eglon's security undetected. During a private audience with the Moabite king, Ehud seized the moment and with skill and precision stabbed Eglon, killing him instantly. The dagger buried itself so deeply that it disappeared into the king's body. After the act, Ehud managed to escape and returned to Israel, where he called the people to rise against Moab. Under his leadership, the Israelites defeated the Moabites, freeing themselves from oppression. Ehud's story is an example of how courage and strategy can change the destiny of a nation. His act of bravery not only brought freedom to Israel, but demonstrated that even in the face of a powerful oppressor, cunning and determination can triumph. Ehud became, and his victory marked the beginning of a new era of independence for Israel. Under the reign of David, Israel became a military power in the region, and Moab, which had once dominated Israel under Eglon, now found itself on the other side of the balance. David, known for his strategic skills and determination to consolidate Israel's power, launched a series of military campaigns to subjugate neighboring peoples, including Moab. The battles between Israel and Moab were fierce, with David employing harsh tactics to ensure victory. He measured the Moabites in lines, executing two-thirds of them and sparing only one-third to serve as vassals. This act of severity was both a demonstration of power and a measure to ensure that Moab would never rise against Israel again. The land of Moab was then forced to pay tributes to David, sealing its submission to the Kingdom of Israel. David's campaigns against Moab were not just about territorial conquest, but also about establishing justice and order. By subjugating Moab, David consolidated his reign and sent a clear message to other nations that Israel was willing to do whatever was necessary to protect its interests and ensure its sovereignty. This subjugation had lasting effects on the region's history, shaping the relations between Moab and Israel for generations. With the death of King Solomon and the subsequent division of the Kingdom of Israel, Moab saw an opportunity to regain its independence. During Solomon's reign, Moab had remained subdued and forced to pay tributes. However, Israel's internal weakness after Solomon's death allowed the Moabites, led by their king Mesher, to rebel against Israeli rule and shake off the yoke that had been imposed on them. Moab's revolt was successful, and they managed to re-establish their autonomy, reclaiming their lands and regaining control over their destiny. Moab's independence brought a period of renewal and reconstruction, with the kingdom striving to reinforce its defenses and consolidate its power in the region. Despite the constant threat of conflicts with Israel and other neighboring nations, Moab remained steadfast in its quest for autonomy. This period of independence, however, was not without challenges. Moab had to deal with hostile coalitions and attempts at resubjugation, but the memory of their resistance against Israel fueled the pride and determination of the Moabite people. The recovery of Moab's independence symbolizes the persistence of a people who, despite adversities, fought to maintain their identity and freedom. In the pursuit of preserving their newly gained independence, Moab participated in various alliances with other nations in the region, such as the Ammonites and Edomites. These alliances were largely formed in response to mutual threats they faced, especially from Israel, which continued to be a significant force in the region. However, these coalitions were not always stable or successful, and were often marked by betrayals and distrust. The alliances between Moab and its neighbors were formed out of necessity and convenience. When faced with a common threat, such as an Israeli invasion, these nations would unite to resist. However, the lack of trust and divergent interests often undermined the effectiveness of these coalitions. Betrayals were not uncommon, with nations abandoning their alliances to seek individual gains or avoid total destruction. These complicated relationships between Moab and its neighbors reflected the political instability of the time, where loyalty was often sacrificed for survival. The history of Moab's alliances and betrayals highlights the fragility of diplomatic relations and how quickly they could disintegrate under the pressure of war and conquest. However, it also underscores Moab's resilience in navigating these treacherous waters, striving to maintain its position in a volatile political landscape. The prophets Isaiah and Jeremiah, two of the most prominent figures in the Bible, predicted the destruction of Moab as a result of its arrogance and idolatry. Isaiah, in chapters 15 and 16 of his book, vividly describes the suffering that would befall Moab. He speaks of destroyed cities, cries of pain echoing throughout the land, and a population that in despair would flee to the mountains only to find misery and suffering. Jeremiah, in his chapter 48, also prophesied against Moab, highlighting the fall of its strongholds and the humiliation of its people. He foretold that Moabite cities would be razed and that its inhabitants would be taken into exile. Jeremiah's prophecies were clear. Moab would suffer the consequences of its trust in idols and its failure to acknowledge God's sovereignty. Moab's pride, which so often led them to challenge Israel, would be their ruin. The prophecies of Isaiah and Jeremiah serve as a stern warning about the dangers of pride and idolatry. They underline divine justice and the inevitability of God's judgment on nations that stray from His ways. The destruction of Moab, as predicted by the prophets, is a testament to God's sovereignty and His authority over all peoples, regardless of their power or position. The fall of Moab, as prophesied by Isaiah and Jeremiah, was a devastating event that marked the end of a once prosperous kingdom. The destruction of its cities and the humiliation of its people were the culmination of years of pride, idolatry, and disobedience to the divine will. Moab, which had so often shown itself to be defiant and independent, finally succumbed to divine justice, fulfilling the words of the prophets. The destruction was total, its strongholds fell, its fields were devastated, and its people were taken into exile, scattered across foreign lands. The kingdom of Moab, which once flourished on the fertile plains east of the Dead Sea, became a shadow of its former self, a grim example of how prosperity can turn to ruin when arrogance and idolatry take the place of reverence for God. The fall of Moab is a testament to God's sovereignty over nations and the inexorability of His judgment. Even a kingdom so rooted in its identity and power could not escape the consequences of its sins. Moab's story serves as an eternal warning about the dangers of straying from God's paths and the inevitability of His justice. The history of Moab offers profound spiritual lessons that transcend time and resonate today. The pride and idolatry that characterized the kingdom of Moab were the seeds of its destruction. By turning away from God and relying on their own strength and idols, the Moabites set themselves on a path of ended in total disaster. The prophets Isaiah and Jeremiah not only predicted Moab's fall, but also used its history as an example for other nations and for Israel itself. They highlighted the importance of humility, obedience to God, and faithfulness to His word. Idolatry, however appealing it may seem in times of prosperity, inevitably leads to ruin, and the pride that prevents submission to God results in downfall. These spiritual lessons are not exclusive to Moab, but are applicable to any nation or individual who chooses to ignore God's sovereignty. Moab's history is a reminder that, regardless of how powerful or prosperous one might be, true security and peace can only be found in a life of obedience and reverence to God. Looking at Moab's history from its controversial origin to its final destruction, we are reminded of the importance of humility and faithfulness to God in all circumstances. Moab, a kingdom that could have thrived indefinitely, fell because it chose to rely on its own strength and idols instead of submitting to divine will. Its tragedies and mistakes serve as a powerful testimony to the dangers of pride and self-sufficiency. However, even in Moab's fall, there is a message of hope. The story of Ruth, the Moabite who chose to follow God and became part of the lineage of David and consequently Jesus Christ, shows that redemption is always possible for those who choose the path of faith and loyalty to God. Moab's story invites us to reflect on our own lives, to recognize our weaknesses, and to seek a deeper and more sincere relationship with the Creator. As we conclude this narrative, we are reminded that while divine justice is certain and inevitable, God's love and mercy are always within our reach. True greatness and security lie in living a life marked by humility, obedience, and faithfulness to God, for it is He who holds the destiny of all nations and people in His hands.